Chapter 37. You know how when you're drunk, you talk really slow and carefully, and you're still amazed the words come out in the right order like you're hearing someone else speaking? I mean, I wouldn't know about that, but I've heard other people describe the experience. On Valkyrie's Bridge, I wasn't drinking. Hadn't touched a drop in weeks. The difficulty I had controlling my tongue was from fear. Pure, gut-churning fear. Skippy, I called to him, pronouncing each syllable slow and clearly. Joe? What? I licked my dry lips. We were on the outer edge of the star system, just inside the line known as the termination shock, where outward pressure of the solar wind drops abruptly as it encounters the interstellar medium that fills the space between stars and the Milky Way. Maybe fills is not the right word. Even in extra cool and dense areas of the ISM, there is only 1 million atoms per cubic centimeter. A cubic centimeter is about, sorry, I'm babbling. There are a few times in my life when I've been so terrified. My fear was not that our search for a sentinel would succeed too well, and everyone aboard Valkyrie would be killed. Well, that too, of course. My major fear, what kept me awake at night and left me not hungry, not even for cheeseburgers, was that my arrogance and stupidity would get everyone killed. Like everyone. Sentinels could scour the galaxy clean of multicellular life, and it would be all my fault. I was so proud of myself, so pleased with my clever thinking for prompting Skippy to fake crashing wormhole networks that maybe... No, not maybe. Apparently, perhaps unarguably, I had gotten so caught up in enthusiasm for my amazing and clever idea that no one else could think of, I failed to take precautions, failed to ask the right questions. Yes, Skippy had assured me nothing could go wrong, that faking a crash was no different from ways he had screwed with wormholes before. But I now understand that is not true. He had never done anything that affected an entire network before. Multiple networks, across a bubble of space 4,000 light-years across. So, when he assured me that nothing could go wrong, I should have reminded myself that he is an untrustworthy, absent-minded beer can who entirely too much believes in his own infallible awesomeness. It is all my fault. I might be the worst mass murderer in history, not because I am evil, but because I am stupid. So, my mouth was having trouble forming words, because I had to clench my jaw to stop it from trembling. My knuckles were white from gripping the armrests tightly, the only way the crew wouldn't see my hands shaking. Yeah, everything was going just great, thank you. I tried again. Do you see out there? I spy with my little eye. That is not funny. Anger overcame my fear, and I could yell at him just fine. Jeez, sorry, Joe. I'm nervous, you know? I do, buddy. You're worried that we unleashed a force that wiped out an entire planet. Yes. I meant that I'm worried a fight with a sentinel could end my unbroken streak of awesomenesses. But we can go with, whatever you said. I cannot believe you just said that. Okay, so maybe awesomenesses is not grammatically correct, but... Sims reached over and rested a finger on my knee. It was an intimate gesture. Not intimate in that way. Intimate in the sense that we were two people who had gone through a lot of shit together, and we knew and respected each other, and we looked out for each other. She knew I was pissed off, and she knew yelling at Skippy wouldn't accomplish anything. When I caught her eye, she shook her head ever so slightly. Right, I told myself. Skippy was just being Skippy. And maybe he was being an asshole to distract me. Please, Skippy, tell me what you see out there. Okay. He let out a long breath. I have horrible news and not so horrible news. Hit me with your best shot. There is a sentinel out there. It was here, and I am definitely 100% certain that it devastated that planet. I don't know where it is now, I don't know where it is going, and I don't know where it came from originally. Shit. Hearing my fear confirmed was anticlimactic because I expected the worst. The not-so-horrible news? This is more of a guess, you understand. I don't think it targeted that planet deliberately. It destroyed a planet by accident? No, it intended to tear that world apart. The planet just wasn't on a target list. Joe, I think it just got in the way, sort of. You military types call it a target of opportunity. Something like that? Okay. You're saying this planet was closest to where it was when it woke up? No, I'm not explaining this well. Let me show you. The main display's holographic tank darkened, the view zooming outward. Here, he said. A blinking yellow light appeared at the upper right. Is the last reported position of the first task force to disappear. It was close to a wormhole that we crashed. These, more blinking lights of various colors appeared, are other locations where ships disappeared or are suspected of going missing. And we are here. A red blob flared to life, not in the center of the display, but low and off to the left. Now, watch as I draw lines between the sites based on time of the incidents. A single blue line appeared, zigzagging across the galaxy. See? He asked. I glanced over at Sims. She held up her hands in an I have no idea what he means gesture. I'm not following you. Do you see the line from where the second group of ships disappeared to where the third group of ships was last reported? Yeah. That line made a wide loop past our present location where the planet was torn apart. What about it? It's almost a straight line. See? No. That is not a straight... I mean, it's a straight line through higher dimensions, trust me. It's like a great circle route, you know? Sure. The concept of a great circle route is something I learned in pilot training. It was part of the navigation course. On any sphere like a planet, the shortest distance between two points on the surface is an arc that describes a plane intersecting the center of the sphere. It's kind of counterintuitive, though easier to understand if you hold a globe in your hands. In what weird-ass dimension of space is that a straight line? Trust me, it is. Joe, I think that planet became a target because the Sentinel was flying past it. The thing did not go out of its way to get there. That had to be good news, I told myself. Or maybe I was just clutching at straws looking for any sort of good news. So it was hunting starships? No, I don't think so. That is highly unlikely. Look closer at where the missing formations of ships were last reported. They're all near wormholes that we crashed, I observed. Exactly. The Sentinel appears to be investigating the wormholes that crashed, just like the missing ships were. Huh. Okay. If we tell everyone to avoid those wormholes, we... Shit. That is a huge volume of space. A bubble 4,000 light-years across, even if the bubble was an irregularly shaped blob, covered a vast section of the galaxy. My guess, and it's only a guess at this point, is the Sentinel is confused and looking for direction. It woke up somehow. I don't know how, because it doesn't make any sense. It woke up, not knowing why it was active, so it started searching for guidance. Possibly it noticed the after effect of the wormhole crashes and decided to investigate. Uh-huh. Best case, then, is this thing flies around to those wormholes, satisfies its curiosity, and goes back to sleep? That would be the ideal case, yes. More likely it will hang around for a very long time. This part of the galaxy probably should be quarantined. For how long? Forever? That's not practical. You meatsacks have no patience. You will want to know if it's gone away after only a couple thousand years. Only a couple thousand? Hey, it's not my fault that biological beings have a totally screwed up sense of time. Okay, maybe we can send robotic ships into the area once a decade, something like that. See if the thing is still awake. Sure, Joe, that is a great idea. Wow, that's why you get paid the big bucks, huh? Think, numbskull. The Sentinel is resting, possibly preparing to go back into hibernation, and you want to send ships to poke it with a stick? Good point. This is all above my pay grade. Skippy, what about inhabited planets and the crash zone? Crash zone? Is that what we're calling it now? We have to call it something, so I like it. Despite our efforts to select an isolated area for the demonstration, there are 7 worlds with significant populations within the zone. My suggestion is they be evacuated. An evac? Just like that? How many people are on these 7 planets? A total of 2.3 million. Shit. That will take a whole lot of transport ships. Won't those ships, Sims joined the conversation, provoke the Sentinel? They need to use wormholes within the zone to reach those planets and again on the way out. I didn't say this would be easy, Skippy was defensive. If a group of transports is attacked on the outbound flight, that is still better than the entire population being dirtside when the planet gets blown apart, isn't it? You think the Sentinel will attack more planets? I asked. I think I don't know, he said with an implied duh. That's the point. Right. Again, above my pay grade. You are general, sir, Sims reminded me. That matters less than I expected, I admitted. Skippy, is there any indication this thing has gone outside the crash zone? No. However, there is also no indication it hasn't. I simply don't know. We should... Sims sucked in a sharp breath. I turned to her. What is it, XO?
There is something we should discuss, sir.
Her eyes flicked toward the bridge door. Right. Skippy, we're done here. We can jump away. We should jump away, he agreed. Reed, punch it. We jumped. I stood up and addressed the bridge crew. The only practical way out of here is by going through one of the wormholes we crashed, so everyone be alert. Reed, if you think you see something odd, jump.
Yes, sir, Fireball nodded. She knew that was a standing order anyway.
Yanev, I pointed to the officer at the center console. You have the con. Sims, you're with me. In my office, I closed the door as Skippy's avatar appeared on the desk. What is it, XO?
We're calling it the crash zone.
Yeah, so?
The crash zone.
Oh, shit, I groaned. Will one of you monkeys please explain this to me? Skippy demanded. She means, I said while staring at the ceiling, hating my life. There are 2 areas where we crashed wormholes. The big demonstration area and where we scared the shit out of the Maxalts to retaliate for their attack against Earth. Skippy shook his head.
May I point out that we did not actually crash any wormholes?
Like that matters.
It does matter, Joe, he insisted. The technique I used to fake it the second time was totally different from how I faked it the first time.
You are sure the Sentinel cares about the difference?
Oh, shit. He groaned that time. Thank you so much for ruining my freaking day.
Sims bit her lip.
A lot of people will have their days ruined if Zone 2 becomes a target. That area is heavily populated. It's why you selected that network. Conducting an evac of those planets would be impossible.
Oh, this is bad. This is bad. I cradled my head in my hands. All right. How about we check Zone 2 for signs of Sentinel activity after we come back from Avalon?
Until then, Sims asked. We don't warn anyone?
Skippy answered for me.
About what? We don't know anything.
A massive evac operation, I added, could be a disaster in itself. Look at what happened on Earth. People panic, societies fall apart. There could be...
Seriously, Joe? You are worried about a zombie apocalypse? Skippy snorted.
I'm worried about people rioting and the government's turning their SD platforms around to hit targets on the surface. Okay. I held up my hands. Let's not speculate. XO, we have no information that the, Zone 2 has any Sentinel activity, but good call. I wouldn't have thought of that. To answer your question, I am willing to take the risk that a planet in Zone 2 will be destroyed, because we really can't do anything about it.
We could also, I added before Sims could continue her thought.
If we warn the kiddies and there is no Sentinel there, we lose credibility. No one would listen to us if we do later find another Sentinel. She pursed her lips, unhappy, but nodded. Sims wasn't happy about what I said. She would be more unhappy if she knew what I didn't say. UNEF Command wanted aliens to think we could summon a Sentinel by crashing wormhole networks.
Giving a warning to Zone 2 before we knew an Elder killing machine was active there would make it clear to everyone that we actually had no control over the damn things. Shit. Command would think that having Sentinels active in both zones where we crashed wormholes is a bonus. It would make our threat to crash wormholes more powerful, even if the effect was unintended. Damn it. They're right about it making our threat more devastating. Don't piss off humans, or we will not only crash a network of wormholes, we will unleash a sentinel on your ass. That is a powerful threat. It is also incredibly, stupidly dangerous. No freaking way was I ever going to be involved in crashing another network unless we knew for certain that it wasn't our action that woke up an unstoppable killing machine. And since, as far as I knew, there was no way to prove it wasn't our fault, the notion of crashing any more wormhole networks was off the list of options. But crap. That didn't mean we couldn't use the threat of summoning sentinels to encourage asshole aliens to cooperate with us. If you think that is a heartless, cynical way to do business, you are right. It also is a fact that once a sentinel was awake, there was no way for us to put that genie back in the bottle. Or to put it back in Pandora's box, or whatever metaphor you want to use. We chatted a bit longer on the subject, even after it was clear I had made a decision. That's the way command works. The dumbass in authority listens to advice and counsel from their staff, then makes a decision. It might be the wrong decision, and it didn't make it any better that in this case I am the dumbass in authority. We jumped and recharged and jumped again, all the way to the nearest Crash Zone 1 wormhole. Once there, we waited until just before it was scheduled to close at that emergence point, then jumped, and our considerable momentum zipped us through the event horizon. If a sentinel had been waiting there for us, we never knew. The wormhole closed behind us seconds before Reed triggered a nearly blind jump just to get us the hell out of there, and we counted ourselves lucky to be alive. Avalon was, well, complicated. The good news was that most of the news we received there was good. The bioscience team there thought they had control of the fungus problem. They had discovered a native microorganism in the soil that, when exposed to foreign organisms like a fungus from Earth, excreted a toxin that inhibited growth. That was both good and bad, because that same organism inhibited the growth of beneficial biologicals like the crops we wanted to grow. The solution of the science team was to dig up soil in areas where we wanted to plant crops, run the soil through a sterilizer to kill the native organisms, and reinstall the soil after seeding it with nutrients and microorganisms from Earth. It was a slow and cumbersome process that would be difficult to scale up, and the treatment only lasted a couple months before native life began creeping back into the area. The good news was it appeared that as more area became converted to Earth organisms, a positive feedback loop became established, extending the time that soil was useful. The bad news was not a whole lot of progress had been made toward building infrastructure for accepting large numbers of colonists. To be fair, the science teams there had been busy doing science things and growing food to support themselves. When I first posed the question whether Avalon could support thousands of additional people, the response I received was universally negative. Then after I explained that a sentinel was currently rampaging in the Milky Way galaxy, opinions changed. If Avalon absolutely had to be a refuge for humanity in a short time, there was a way to make it happen. It would be difficult and expensive, but it could be done. Probably. As with most questions involving science, there were a whole lot of ifs involved. While I badgered the scientists for an answer, I granted Sims a 24-hour pass to be with her husband, with the restriction that she couldn't do any work while on the surface. On my order, Skippy locked out her Z-phone except for emergency calls. When she returned to the ship, her eyes were red like she had been crying. She looked at me and nodded once. We didn't need to say anything. 38 hours after arriving at Avalon, we jumped away, carrying hope that some small portion of humanity might survive there, even if all life was scoured from the Milky Way galaxy. Outbound through the Super Duty wormhole that connected to the Milky Way galaxy, we left the Sculptor Dwarf galaxy behind, sure we would be coming back soon. The UN would want to bring at least a couple transport ships there, even if some of the people aboard needed to wait in orbit until conditions on the surface could support their numbers. If Command wanted my advice, I would fly all of the transports straight to the beta site rather than taking the interim step of going to Jaguar base. I did understand the logic of a stopover at Jaguar. It got those vulnerable ships to a place hostile aliens couldn't reach, so we didn't have all of our eggs in one basket. It would give the passengers a break from being stuck inside a cramped starship. And Jaguar was farther from Crash Zone 1 than Earth was, meaning if a Sentinel was rampaging across the galaxy, Jaguar would be safe for longer. But if the point of pulling people off our homeworld was to ensure a viable population survived at a secure site outside the galaxy, they needed to go straight to Avalon. Anyone who couldn't stand an extended stay aboard a ship was not a good candidate for being a first adopter colonist on a planet with a shaky biosphere, in my opinion. Of course, the decision wouldn't be mine to make. That kind of stuff was outside my area of expertise, and I'm okay with that. My plate is already full with decisions that were my responsibility to make. I didn't need any more. Our first stop was at a Wargalan relay station. One of their data relays wasn't my first choice, but it was the only one along our route to Zone 2. There were no additional reports of Sentinels tearing apart planets. There wasn't a whole lot of news about anything, really. That station was kind of isolated, and the Bos Farak, patrons of the Wargalan, were not flying around as much as they used to. The latest info that station had was 8 days old when we got there. Still, no news is good news, I guess. The second stop, which really wasn't a stop at all, was to check whether a Sentinel was active in Zone 2. Skippy said as we transitioned through a wormhole into the zone. Okay, that's interesting. What? I asked, irritated that he always made me prompt him for info. I'm not detecting any kind of residual signal here. That blows my theory that the signal is somehow connected to a wormhole network crash. Although, the crash here was... Yes! I shouted before he could blurt out the truth. Thank you, Skippy. We all know you used a different technique to crash this network. That's my point, he was snippy right back at me. We now have two data points. One technique might result in a signal, the other technique does not. We have three data points, Sims noted. You also did not detect a signal at wormholes on networks that were not subjected to a crash. Oh, right. The beer can's face reddened slightly, an affectation that was new. I'm not detecting any sign of a Sentinel here, but hanging around wormholes in a crash zone is not the healthiest thing to do, huh? Fireball jump option Charlie, I ordered. Punch it. The quickest way to determine whether a Sentinel had already conducted an attack within Zone 2 was to ping a relay station for news. If an attack had occurred, it would be the first item on a data relay's stack of files. And even if the Maxulks did not know a Sentinel was active in the area, Skippy could mine for hints in the data. Ships overdue or declared missing. Unusual phenomena that he knew was not natural, that could only be the work of an elder killing machine. Something as simple as a disturbance in the orbits of an asteroid field would be enough for Skippy to identify as a possible sign of a Sentinel's presence. The problem was we could not ping a Maxulk's relay station for info, because some idiot had the bright idea of bragging to the kiddies that we had hacked their ultra-secure Pixie communication system. Man, that guy is really a jackass. The relay station we replaced was still collecting data for us, but it was too far away to be useful for us right then. Since we were looking primarily for information that would be widely discussed and openly available, I took advice from Sims and parked Valkyrie 10 light hours from a Maxulk's world that had a population of over 400 million rotten kitties. Damn, if you have cat allergies, you do not want to go there. Also, I am never applying for the job of emptying litter boxes all over that planet. Anyway, the ship's sensors had barely recovered from jump distortion when Skippy yelped. Oops! Oh, shit. Details, please. I clenched my fist to avoid shouting at him. I have good news. News that will be a great relief to you. Puzzling news and bad news. The good news is we can go now. There is no sign of a Sentinel active in this zone. The puzzling news... He paused. What? Oh, usually you interrupt me when I'm trying to tell you something important. Get on with it! The news that will be a great relief is that it appears that you are not responsible for waking up a Sentinel. The wormhole crash happening around the same time might have been just a coincidence. How do you know that? I pinged the networks that we,
crashed, and their controllers all responded that none of them sent out any sort of distress call that could have summoned a sentinel. As far as they are concerned, there was an internal glitch and they fixed it. The puzzling news. Are you sure you don't want to interrupt me?
No!
Okay, you don't have to snap at me, he sniffed. The puzzling news is I now have no idea what triggers sentinels to wake up if a wormhole network crash didn't do it.
Okay.
Well, I shuddered, relieved to hear that. If we had not stupidly awakened an Elder killing machine, that meant we didn't know how to do that other than suicidally deploying Elder weapons. That meant UNEF Command could not use the threat of waking more Sentinels as a threat, and I wouldn't face the prospect of refusing an order to unleash a devastating force we couldn't control. Because it also meant our threat to crash wormhole networks was still viable, without the risk of wiping out all life in the galaxy. Unless, you know, Skippy was wrong. Hey, what are the odds of that happening?
That is, I silently pumped a fist, and Sims nodded agreement.
Good news all around. Now hit me with the bad news. Did that Sentinel in Zone 1 attack another planet?
No.
It has either gone silent or no one has noticed whatever it has done recently.
Okay.
In my head, I was hoping his bad news was disappointment that his theory of what triggered Sentinels was wrong. If so, he was a jerk for scaring us, but I could live with that.
What is the bad news?
There was another Sentinel attack. Against a world controlled by the Vreen. 107,000 people live there, Joe. This time, the Sentinel manipulated the planet's own strong magnetic field to tear it apart. Massive quakes and tsunamis devastated the surface. A Vreen starship witnessed the attack and managed to jump away. Seven other starships were not so lucky. There is absolute confirmation a Sentinel was involved. The Vreen ship saw the thing.
I felt sick again.
Are there any survivors?
Possibly.
I don't know. Someone could have survived, though they would have to be very lucky. The ship that escaped didn't hang around to search for survivors.
Right.
Skippy, you said there wasn't another attack, and the most recent attack was not in Zone 1, or anywhere close to where we crashed wormholes at all.
Joe, I think another Sentinel has awakened.